When we last gathered in the Take No Shit Dojo, from whence this show emanates each Wednesday, I revealed a true story from my high school days. How Jimmy and Frank and I, friends and confederates, how we sabotaged every classroom speaker in the school. That bloodied the nose of authority a bit. And we followed that escapade up with an even better one. A Mission Impossible caliber caper that rocked the dean to his bones. I'll tell you about that in just a bit.
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
I suppose I should back up a little here and provide some context for new listeners or those who missed the previous episode. What triggered that adventure from my youth was a conflict that's been at the core of countless stories and movies and pivotal moments in history. It's the struggle of the individual versus authoritarians and the hive-minded minions that want to crush freedom. This struggle has always existed, and will, until Gabriel blows his horn. It is the core battle between good and evil. It's eternal. It was how J.C. wound up crucified. Was he into groupthink? Did he have a blue checkmark on his Twitter account? Did he take a knee for Caesar, or any politician or movement? No, no, and no. He even refused to take a drug they pushed on him just before they nailed him to that cross. Does this stuff sound familiar? That was 21 centuries ago. All through the ages, the ASTCOs, that's assholes seeking to control others, which are mainly scumbag politicians, they have been repeating those behaviors. How do ASTCOs get to control the masses? Well, first, they persuade weak-minded people to obey silly little innocuous commands, like march this way, wear this armband, fly this flag, salute like this, sing this song. Don't call him Chancellor, call him Führer. Once you get them trained to obey that crap, it's just a little step to hate those people, shun those people, kill those people. That's the progression. It's simple, and it works. It happened many times before it did in 20th century Germany, and it's happening right now in 21st century America. Not too long ago, much of American culture admired and celebrated individuals. After all, it was a handful of ballsy patriots that took on British monarchs and created this country. Most of the colonists were willing to tolerate the abuse the British dished up, but a few, only 3% by some historians' reckoning, had the guts to fight it out and accept the possibility of failure and death. As Franklin famously said, we must all hang together, or surely we will hang separately. In that other America, most people rooted for the underdog. Now, most people revile the underdog. They worship power and authority. It's fucking sick. Those people are sick. How did this change happen? Through the so-called educational system, which is not an educational system at all, but a multi-stage mind processing complex. It ingests children at the preschool level and begins the early stages of digestion. It does not give a fuck about those kids or developing their individual potential. It's not designed to educate anyone. It's a vast intestine created to dissolve talent and individuality and replace those wonderful attributes with mindless compliance. Above all else, compliance. After 12 or 16 years, the processing complex excretes human sausage links. Consistent, passive, non-threatening, weak, mediocre, entitled drones. When I was in school, I did not think those thoughts. I was busy being a kid, but on some instinctual level, I knew something was wrong. That the
"We are one"
mass psychology scam that is used to make the small-minded feel they are part of something, I knew that was bullshit. On a harmless level, it's like when the performer at a concert asks the audience to clap along or sing along. Ever notice that only happens with chooch acts who attract choochy audiences? Sinatra did not ask his audience to clap along. Only shitty musicians request sing and clap along, same as shitty politicians. They know that peer pressure is a powerful thing. And if you can get just a few imbeciles to clap along or wear that armband, plenty of others will join in. Pretty soon, you've got yourself a movement. That word is the greatest unintentional example of onomatopoeia, isn't it? One of the most downloaded episodes of this show is number 5, Larry Slugs a Nun. It is a true story. It was me. 6 years old, all 40 pounds of me, versus 4 adult women wearing habits. The fight did not go very well for me, but it sure shaped my opinion about ASTCOs. It appears ASTCOs are now in control of this nation. That is not a good thing, because with ASTCOs, it's never enough. Look how it's progressed. From flatten the curve for 2 weeks, to wear a mask, to wear 2 masks or more, to take this drug and show you care about your fellow man, to take this drug or we'll fuck up your life. Like this Uber ASTCO, Dr. Lena Wen. Just listen to Dr. Adolf, Lena.
What we really need to do at this point is to make vaccination the easy choice. It needs to be hard for people to remain unvaccinated. Right now, it's kind of the opposite. It's fine. It's easy if you're unvaccinated. You can do everything you want to do anyway. But at some point, these mandates by workplaces, by schools, I think it will be important to say, hey, you can opt out, but if you want to opt out, you have to sign these forms. You have to get twice weekly testing. Basically, we need to make getting vaccinated the easy choice. That is what it's going to take.
How about that? She wants to make the unvaxxed suffer. Wonder if Dr. Lena goose steps when she's making her rounds. Wonder if she's fond of wearing armbands. And isn't it ironic that Dr. Lena's previous gig, before CNN spokeshole and champion of public health and fighter of misinformation, her last gig was as president of Planned Parenthood? Dr. Lena is so concerned about our health and saving lives, but the organization she headed performs 350,000 abortions a year, every year. Whose lives are those saving? Is that about public health? Curiously, Dr. Lena's florid bio on her personal webpage, where she brays about her commitment to fighting misinformation, that bio fails to mention her job running Planned Parenthood. Guess she thinks hiding facts doesn't qualify as misinformation. Betcha Dr. Lena would like to make it even harder on the unvaccinated, but she is a doctor. Same as Dr. Joseph Mengele. Mengele liked to make people's lives miserable by having them get numerical tattoos on their forearms or wear a yellow star on their clothing. Wonder if that's in Dr. Lena's playbook. These monsters need to go away. They need to be challenged, to be outed as frauds, and then relentlessly mocked, ridiculed, derided so ferociously that they never, ever dare sit down before a camera or a microphone again. Push them back into the holes they crawled out of. Whoa, have I wandered off track from my story? No, not so much, because my story is about fucking with authority, with a dictator, which is what the dean of discipline was in my high school. In part one, my pals and I had sabotaged the entire public address system of our high school, a creepy place where the logo was, believe it or not, a beehive. It was all about the hive and groupthink. Our disabling of the PA system forced the dean of discipline to photocopy all his daily announcements and distribute them for individual teachers to read. He was rip shit furious. He was offering a reward for information leading to the apprehension of the, quote, vandals. I didn't think of us as vandals. It was not wanton, mindless destruction of property. That was for morons. What we did was actually sabotage. It had multiple purposes. First was to amuse us. Second was to enrage authority. Third was to send a message, to show them that they were not omnipotent, that they were vulnerable, that they could be fucked with. Capers are like a drug. You always need a bigger hit. And so, once the entire school had been equipped with shiny new PA speakers, ones that were vandal resistant, well, of course, we had to show them once again that they were still vulnerable. And we hatched another plan. This plan went right after Doc. That was the dean's nickname. And this stunt was more audacious than harpooning speakers. This covert job was at the Mission Impossible level. This caper was personal. Ideally, to send the most powerful message, it should springboard from the previous caper. And with these new vandal-resistant speakers, Doc once again had his old swagger, like some gunfighter who's vanquished another challenger. I began to wonder what would happen if Doc were to make an announcement to the entire school, but not of his own volition. Where everyone might think it was him, where I would impersonate Doc for his daily 2:30 address over that PA system. I'd always been good at vocal impressions, and I began to work on my Doc mimicry. The best impressionists hit the target when they absorbed the entire subject, not just the voice. So I began to study Doc's stance, his walk, his facial expressions, his gestures. I'd work on them at home, alone in my room. Once my old man asked me what the hell I was doing. I told him I was auditioning for the school play. He didn't buy it. Soon I had Doc down cold. But what would I say? It would have to be brief. The longer I lingered in his office, the more likely I'd be caught. I wrote draft after draft until I had it just right, and it ran exactly 14 seconds. I presented my idea to Frank and Jimmy. This presentation occurred in our private clubhouse. It had been a storage room near the stage in the auditorium. It was accessible only by a faculty key. Of course, Jimmy had swiped a teacher's set of keys within the first couple months of school. So when we decided we needed a clubhouse, Jimmy's pal, an apprentice locksmith, snuck in with us and changed the cylinder. Then it was hours and hours alone. In that room, we had a beer cooler with beer, Playboy calendars on the walls, ashtrays, and so on. We furnished it with boosted chairs and a folding table. We even snatched one of those 6-foot fans on poles to keep the air circulating. Well, they loved my idea and my Doc impression, and most of all, the statement I would make. But how the hell could we pull it off? There was only one mic for that PA system, And it was in Doc's office, and he was the only guy making those announcements each day at 2:30. So that ruled out 2:30. It had to be another time, but never between classes. We wanted every ass in a desk listening to me through those new speakers, not wandering the halls and slamming locker doors. The only class Jimmy, Frank, and I shared was homeroom. Well, that was too early. Besides which, Doc was probably in his office then as well. We pondered for several days, and finally, fate created an opportunity. A teacher took sick, and Doc had to substitute for him. So, suddenly, we had 55 minutes when we knew Doc would not be in his office and everyone would be in class. It was the last class of the day. Perfection. We scoped out the target. I'd be the guy in Doc's office at the microphone. But where would Jimmy and Frank position themselves as lookouts? Doc's office was near the east end, last door before a stairwell. Not good. It gave little or no time to abort the mission if we were discovered. We'd have to synchronize our timing. Excusing ourselves from classes simultaneously for the bathroom was too risky. Instead, we decided to all show up 5 minutes late for our classes. If the plan worked, by then there would be such chaos, no one would notice or care about our lateness or whereabouts. Jimmy was creative. He covered the stairs, and if any authority figure approached, he would stall them by feigning nausea and dizziness. Frank would cover the hallway with the same plan. When the day arrived, I was in a state of high anxiety, but the reward of success would be one of the greatest achievements in my young life. Sometimes I felt giddy, sometimes terrified. Finally, the moment was at hand. With synchronized watches, we rendezvoused and took our positions. Jimmy had unlocked Doc's door for me. If I got caught, at least I wouldn't be in possession of stolen keys. With clammy palms and a racing heartbeat, I slipped into Doc's office. In the corner was the microphone on a stand. Behind the mic was some kind of console with several buttons and unlit lights. Fuck! Which button do I push? Then I saw it. Half peeled away was a label that said, Talk. I faced the mic. I took a breath. I pushed the button. I heard that familiar sound that precedes all PA system announcements.
Your attention, please. This is the little man in the little box over the door. There will be no announcements today. I am busy touching myself in an inappropriate manner. That is all.
I leapt from that room in a single bound and walked, never ever run from a caper, walked toward my classroom, listening to the roar of laughter from nearly 1,000 male teenage voices. It went on and on. At that moment, I wanted to scream and pop champagne and jump up and down with Jimmy and Frank. In our own way, we had won the Super Bowl. Our team, a team of three amigos. Success did not take a goddamn village or a hive. When I walked in late to the class, no one noticed. The teacher was trying to restore order and having little success. I sat at my desk. I felt like James fucking Bond. Later, we three connected, far from school, and rehashed our incredible adventure. There were endless high fives and backslaps and hugs. For weeks, table talk was nothing but that announcement from Doc, speculation over who had done it. A few guys actually thought it was Doc, that he had been drunk or lost his mind, but that was proven false by his presence as a substitute in a classroom. What had been Doc's reaction when he heard me? Well, Frank knew a kid who was in that class and got the playback from him. He said that at first Doc stared in wide-eyed terror at the speaker on the wall, like he was looking up at Godzilla. Then he lowered his gaze to the floor, and he never looked up, even when he said,
Class dismissed.
That's one way of fucking with authority. The only weapons used were talent, balls, and good planning. There was no violence, no injury, no destruction of property. Doc never said a word about it, at least not publicly. But his gunfighter swagger was gone. Was he still in charge? Sure. But it was like pulling back the curtain on the Wizard of Oz. All his imagined power, which is always greater than actual power, had vanished. He was human. He was vulnerable. He had been gotten. This show has many listeners around the world, over 90 countries the last time I checked. We live in the darkest of times. Doc was just a silly man in a silly school breaking the balls of a bunch of school kids, some of whom deserved it. But there are punks in power now who are destroying lives. So please, think of ways to expose their lies. Think of ways to undermine their authority. Think of ways to humiliate them. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Slide over to the show page for more content and commentary and hundreds more episodes. While you're there, click the subscribe button. You'll never miss an episode. It's free. If you like what you just heard, click the Patreon button and join the Take No Shit Dojo and help me fight this fight for truth and freedom. There you will find the fellowship of other freedom-loving people, as well as dozens of bonus episodes where we tend to get even more personal and contentious. Follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Mastodon Social. You'll find links for those at thatlarryshow.com. We still have some of those fabulous vintage motel key fobs. They look great, feel right, and won't get lost in your bag. And best of all, they tell the world you're a member of the Take No Shit Dojo. It's easy to see one and get one. Again, just go to thatlarryshow.com. My friends, there are evil pricks working together to deprive you of even the most basic God-given freedoms. Don't let them. Push back hard, wherever and whenever you can. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts. God bless, and take no shit.